hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
We would ask an interest in your prayers tonight as we stand before you, praying that the Lord our God would be merciful to us and thanking him for the opportunity that we would gather to worship him tonight. And there is no greater place that we as God's children can be, except in to gather with the brethren to worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. And it is our prayer that God would bless us to be able to continue on to worship him in that manner. We know God is a spirit. We know that we can't see him, but praise be to God in that promise that he has given us and that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he blesses us to feel his manifest presence in our midst. And in that we do give thanks. And I want to go to the book of Acts this evening, in Acts chapter 6. We've heard about Stephen. We've heard that story about that dear brother so many times. And I just pray that the Lord might bless us to talk about Stephen for a few moments and his love for the Lord and how that love was displayed in his life. And they said earlier that there is a cause. And we hear that those words spoken by young David as he was about to go and face Goliath, that is there not a cause? And sometimes we, as God's children, we need to be reminded that there is indeed a cause that is greater than we are. When we think about earlier today, I was talking about John 3:16, for God so loved. And we think about the love in which God has loved us with. And we think about that which God gave up for us. He gave up his son, that his son would be a ransom for the people that he loved even before time was. A people like you and I, we trust. And that we see Stephen here, Stephen who is described as being one full of the Holy Ghost. You know, he was lifted up and blessed by the Lord our God. But we see that those same people who were blessed to see Stephen lifted up later became his accusers, accusing him of doing something that he did not do. And how does it apply to us? We think about Stephen. You know, the Lord says in the Gospels that the people persecuted him. They will persecute you as well. That is a given. When we're blessed to stand up for that cause in which we have been called out to be a part of. But that is just a small thing, you see. When you consider what God gave up as a ransom for you and I. those few days of trials and toils that we may have in this time world, they are a small thing in comparison to what our Lord has done for us in giving up his life. That lamb that was a perfect sacrifice that he offered up to the Father in our behalf. And then I'm going to go to the 8th verse of Acts 6. And just pray for this unworthy one. And it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And brethren, I think that we have read this passage enough and heard enough about Stephen's life that we realize and that we understand that the faith and power in which Stephen operated it in was by the grace of Almighty God. You see, faith indeed is one of those fruits of the Spirit. And Scripture tells us that the faith that we as God's children live by in this time world is indeed the faith of the Son of God. So when we see Stephen here being full of faith and power and doing great wonders and miracles, brethren, this is an evidence as to how God had lifted this brother up to his praise and to his glory. But you know, brethren, God's people don't always like to see God's children prosper in that way. You remember that story, I think it was Simeon, when Philip went to Samaria. And then the two brethren came to Samaria and they put hands on God's children and they received the Holy Ghost. You remember Simeon, who had already been convicted and had already been made a believer, that he wanted to buy that power. He wanted to buy that ability to lay his hands on others to give them the Holy Ghost. Brethren, God has called us into an office and he has equipped us individually and uniformly. But it's God who gives the power, it's God who equips, it's God who gives the gift. And sometimes, brethren, when we're blessed and called out to use that gift, just as Stephen is here, that is not always to the popularity and the good blessings of God's children that we're called out to minister to. And Stephen here was called out to minister to a people. We remember how it happened. They came to the apostles and they were complaining because one section of people wasn't getting as much as another section of people. And the apostle says, "Well, should we leave the word of God to serve tables?" But no, they were directed to raise up men amongst them to do that task. And the first one that's listed in Scripture that was raised up was Stephen. Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, a brother who had evidence there that God had begun a work in his heart, and he was using that work to the glory and power of Almighty God, not unto himself, you see. And brethren, we need to be mindful, brethren, that all that God has given us, it is not of us, but it is of God who giveth to us. And just as this brother went about not being concerned about those who were critical of him, but he went about having his being to please who? To please his God. Why? Because there was a cause that was greater than he was. Just as today there's a cause that is greater than we are. You see, brethren, as much as we think that it might be all about us, or in a sense, some of it is all about us, you see, because if it wasn't for us, the Lord of glory wouldn't have to go to Calvary's cross in the first place. He went for us, you see. He went to redeem us and all of those that God gave him in a covenant of grace. That's why he came, you see, to save his people. So in that sense, it is about us. But when it gets to the kingdom, and when we're called out to work in the kingdom, then it's not about us. But it's about God, who has called us out to serve him. Just like John the Baptist, when his disciples came to him and they weren't really complaining, you see, but they were just sort of comparing him and the Lord and all those that were being baptized. And John says, I must decrease and he must increase. It is the same with us, brethren. When the Lord of glory fills you with his Spirit, it is not so that you would increase, but it's so that he will increase. Just as we see here with young Stephen. Well, Stephen didn't go about trying to bring power and recognition upon himself. Stephen went about pleasing the God that he served. And we trust, brethren, that we might be blessed that way. That when we go out in service to the Lord our God, that we go out with that same spirit in which Stephen went out. And you said, Brother John, go out where? Anywhere. It doesn't matter where it is. You see, brethren, we are his. Not just here. Not just in our houses, not just in our workplaces, but anywhere our feet may trod, we are his. And we are his representatives. We're not our own. And a very precious price was paid for that. The blood of his son was given that we would have that liberty. You know, while the natural mind said, well, that liberty seems like being captive. That is what the natural mind would say. You have to pay a price. No, you don't have to pay a price, brethren. You don't have to do anything in order to inherit eternal life. It is given to you. You don't have to do anything for that. But what Brother John is talking about, the joy that we enjoy while we're here. There is a joy that we have, brethren, when we walk in obedience to the Lord our God. And you think about Stephen, and he says, well, what joy does Stephen experience when they're going to end up killing him? What joy is in that? Well, you see, brethren, if you look at it that way, and you look at the ideal that Stephen got killed in the end, well, ask yourself this question. What did Stephen lose? What did Stephen miss out on? Stephen was delivered into the hands of the Father. And not only that, what a glorious deliverance. When this brother looked up into heaven, he saw his Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. Not sitting, but standing. Oh, and what a precious deliverance that was for that dear brother. But you see, brethren, in verse 9, after we're told that Stephen done great wonders and miracles among the people, it says in verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and then of the Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now Stephen is said to have to be full of faith and also power, and did great wonders and miracles. Now, why would you suppose that these would want to dispute against Stephen? He was doing God's work. Scripture doesn't tell us that Stephen was doing anything to hurt the church or to hurt God's people. But Stephen was walking in faith. Stephen was exercising that in which the Lord our God gave him. That is all the brother was doing. He was being obedient to that call. But yet are we obedient to our call? We think of this brother, and we think that there's no way in the world that people should have reacted the way that they did. But yet, those people that reacted are no different than me or any of us, do you see? When we take our eyes off the Lord and we begin to work in this car with this carnal mind of ours, we're subject to do any manner of things, brethren. That is just who we are by nature. We're blessed, brethren, to gather together with the saints and have sweet meetings like this because God strips us of that. He stripped us of ourselves, brethren, that we might enter into a meeting house full of grace and full of power. See, sometimes we confuse what power really means. Power is not the ability to beat up somebody else. Power, brethren, is given the ability to walk with the Lord our God humbly. You know, many people don't see power in humility. Brethren, that is the evidence of the Lord our God being with you and walking with you. And you, brethren, being blessed to keep your eyes upon He who has called you out. And just like that old prophet says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And you are blessed, brethren, with all of his power. And how do we understand that? There's another scripture you could look at. You remember when Paul had the thorn in the flesh. He sought three times that the Lord would remove that thorn from the flesh. But what did the Lord say to Paul? Okay, Paul, I'm tired of your whining. I'll go ahead and take that thorn out. No, that is not what he said. What did he say? He said that my grace is sufficient. And the sufficiency of the grace of the Lord our God has always been and always will be sufficient for His children as they sojourn in this time world. But that is not all that the Lord said. What else did the Lord tell Paul? That His power, the Lord's power, is manifested in our weakness. So then you see where power and humility comes in. You see, when we're blessed to walk with the Lord, we walk in His power. And we're made humble as we're blessed to keep our eyes upon Him who has delivered us. And that's what this brother was doing. He was keeping his eyes on the Lord. But yet, there were those who, Scripture tells us, there were those who were disputing with him. I mean, how can you dispute with the evidence unless your heart has been so cold and hardened that you don't even see it? You see, if you were to see a brother lifted up, and you got jealous of that, or you got envious of that, then obviously you're not seeing clearly. You're seeing with natural eyes. Why would you be jealous? The brother didn't take himself up on the throne and say, "Here I am." That is not what Stephen did. God lifted him up and endued him with power. So those who could not see that, oh yes, they began to dispute with him. And that dispute would go on and on. And we see in verse 10 that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. What does that mean? The brother wasn't in the flesh. He was operating by the spirit and the wisdom of Almighty God. And what are you going to do with that? You can't do anything. You can't destroy it. You can't do anything. Except what these brethren tried to do. They lied about what he had said. Who does that remind you of? How about Daniel? You remember when they got all jealous of Daniel? And they figured out, well, the only way we're going to get to this fellow is through his God. That is the only way we're going to get to him. You see? And that's the way you see that enemy working there. Because Daniel, his accusers, okay, they go to the king. And they tricked the king into doing this proclamation that you can't pray to any other god except the king's God. So Daniel went on that day. He did what he always did. Daniel wasn't trying to bring glory upon himself. Daniel was just being Daniel, a child of the Most High God. And daily as he daily went to pray to the Lord his God, he went to pray. And his accuser had him trapped because they understood that they could find nothing wrong at all that he ever done, except they could accuse him for serving and worshiping his God. And that is what they did. And just as these here, they were not able to resist that wisdom. That wisdom, you know, it's funny how you talk to people. I have 50-50 young people and people my age that work around there. And how, oh, you can say something simply in the scripture. And people says, wow. Why? Because it's the wisdom of God. They say, wow, like, oh, how did you think of that? I didn't think of that. It's in the Word. And it's in the Word of God. This is not me, but it's in the Word of God. And you see, brethren, that is what they could not dispute. I mean, Stephen was operating, brethren, not by his own authority, but he was operating by the authority of the Most High God. And how you can't do anything with that. God is God. God provides that wisdom to each of us, brethren. And we read in James that he who lacketh wisdom, let him simply ask of God, and God gives it liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to tell you, well, sister so-and-so, you asked me yesterday. They don't come back again today. No, we won't do that. You can ask him today, tomorrow, and forevermore, and he will bless you with that which you ask for. When you simply ask for that wisdom that comes from on high. And brethren, you know, God gives us wisdom. What do we do with it? We put it in our pocket, you guys. You women, you put them in your purse. I will save that wisdom for tomorrow. Today, I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and do it my way today. And if I need that wisdom, I know I got it. I got it here, it's in reserve. If I ever need it, then I can just pull it out And there it is. Well, we all know it don't work that way. But we also know that is a picture of how we can be when it comes to the things of Almighty God. Sad picture? Yeah. But a picture nonetheless of how we as God's children can be as we sojourn in this dying world. If I'd only known. No, it's not about if you'd only known. Here's what you should say. If I had only listened to the Spirit of Almighty God. Not if I had only known what was behind that door. You had already opened it. It doesn't really matter. You had already opened the door. But no, if you had listened from that to that wisdom that comes from on high, maybe you would not have opened that door. And maybe you would have been delivered from that trial. But you see, there's doors everywhere. There's doors throughout all of life. And there will always be one. They're tempting God's little children as they sojourn in this dying world. No, you're not delivered from one trial and that's it. Okay, I have my trial for this life and oh, I'm good to go. Don't work that way. Man born of woman is full of troubles. You will have them until God calls you home. Just as this brother did here. And in verse 11 says, then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. All that means is they got together a bunch of men that had agreed to lie. That's what that word means. It's got together a bunch of men who were in agreement that they would go ahead and lie to the council against Stephen. Why? I don't know why God didn't do what they do. Moses calls all stiff-necked and hard-headed. I don't know why they did what they did, but they did. Just like sometimes we don't realize why people do what they do today. But yet they do it anyway. Well, they did that. They got together, these men who had agreed to testify or to speak against Stephen that he had spoke blasphemous words against Moses and against God. You know, interestingly, you think about the church. And you think about the Lord on that last night and he says, this is my blood, the New Testament. And we think about the law and we think about grace. And we think about later on how Saul is going to be converted to Paul. And we think about Stephen and his. And Stephen, read the whole 7th chapter of Acts when you get a chance. That brother could preach. He preached the gospel to them that day before he died, you see. And that's, you know, that gospel and that good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was commenting earlier today, Sister Gladys and I were driving, and we heard this song, and I said, did you hear that? The song goes, the lyrics went basically, if you let him, he will save you from hell. But only if you let him, you see. You got to let him. Because if you don't let him, hell will be your home. Yeah, I listened to it. I didn't listen to it. I just heard the words. I said to Sister Glass, did you hear what they just said? And who is they? God's children. You see, the natural mind don't care about that. They don't care what you think. They don't care. They don't care about God. They don't care about going to hell. They think it's going to be a big party down there. They just don't care. They don't understand. You see, all of this stuff is just foolishness. You people have gathered in this building to worship somebody you can't see. I mean, who is it you're worshiping anyway? But sadly, that's God's little children out there who are all entangled into these other orders who would write lyrics to God's little children, telling them that if you really want to go to heaven, then you better let the Lord save you. Because if you don't let him, he won't. It's your decision. It's your choice. Sad, isn't it? But it's very true. And I hate to say this, but it's more of them that believe that than us that believe the truth. You know, the Lord said the truth will set you free. You know, they, verse 12, it said, they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. You know, I had a minister say yesterday, he said he would hope that if he was called upon to do so, that he would die and give his life for the cause. What is our life? Before we say, well, I wouldn't do that. I guess my question would be is, what do we have to lose? Except another day of toil in this time world. Another day to sorrow. Another day to regret. Another day to sin against the Lord our God. You see, Stephen, brethren, was delivered home. He was delivered out of this time world. He was delivered home to be with his Lord. And as joyous as life can be here, we read in the scriptures, to be with Christ is far better. And brethren, for this dear brother, who's being delivered up into the council, accused by those who got themselves together to lie about what he had said. Why they would do that, scripture doesn't really tell us. Whether they were jealous or envious or whatever, or just they just couldn't blind and just couldn't see. We really don't know. But we do know for one certain they did it. And now Stephen is brought before the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak it, blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. You know, Jesus said that he was going to destroy that temple in 3 days, build it back up. They didn't understand what he was talking about. And if God had not given them ears to hear and a heart to understand, they would not have understood what Stephen was talking about either. When he was talking about the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was this Jesus of Nazareth? They would not have understood if God had not blessed them with ears to hear and a heart to understand. Just like those who delivered him up, who delivered the Lord up. Did they really understand what they were doing? Well, you see, Jesus came for this set purpose. He came to fulfill that which the Father had sent him to do. He wasn't going to go to that cross. He was going to be that perfect sacrifice. And he was going to do it to the glory of the Father, to redeem a people that God had loved even before time was. He was going to do that. Whether they yelled out Barabbas or whatever they yelled out, crucify him. Oh, and how many God's children had said that I wouldn't have done that. I probably would have done worse. But you see, Jesus came to fulfill all of that that the Father sent him to do. We see Stephen, who had been called out. You don't see anything that Stephen volunteered to do this. But the disciples sent them to get men to fill that office. And Stephen was one of those. And we see here that in verse 13, and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. You know, Scripture says that the Lord came to fulfill the law. And it says that he did to a jot and a tittle. But just as that song that I spoke of, those lyrics that says, if you don't want to go to hell, you gotta let Jesus save you. I would imagine that there was those that call themselves follower of the letter of the law, that grace did not make any sense to them at all. Just like today, for many of God's little children, grace doesn't make any sense. I got to do something. Moses had given them a law. Christ fulfilled that law. So that you didn't have to feel it. So that you didn't have to live your life having fulfilled all of the law of God in order to have a hope. He did it for us. And he took our sins upon himself. And as he was delivered up and gave his life, he will, on that given day, deliver all that the Father had given him. He would deliver him up to the Father. And he will lose none. All that the Father gave him, he will raise them up on that last day. And in verse 15 it says, and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, on Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I would think that would have spooked them, don't you think? I would think that they would have spooked them and said, whoa, maybe we better rethink this thing here. This brother is looking like he's an angel here. I mean, what's going on? But no, you see, their hearts were so hardened that they were determined to do what they did. Sometimes we wonder, did they not hear? How can they act the way that they do? Everybody doesn't hear. Everybody doesn't understand. God has given you much. Much is required of thee. He has given you an understanding, brethren, that surpasses many of his children in this dying world. But he gave that gift to you for the same purpose he gave Stephen his gift. That it would be used to his glory, and to his praise. God has a witness here, brethren. We trust and pray that we are those witnesses. That we are that light. And that light will shine to the glory of the Father. You've seen a candle. How the wind comes along and that light flickers. Well, the adversary comes along and that light flickers. But though it flickers, we pray that the Lord will not allow it to be blown out. That it will always shine to His glory.